sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Third and final hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network this Wednesday, March 26, 2025 edition. Joining us on the show right now is former state senator, former gubernatorial candidate Patrick Kolbeck. He wrote a book back published in March of 21, The 2020 Coup, What Happened, What We Can Do. This is a book I want you guys to buy a copy of and take to your local township clerk and give it to them as a gift, because that book lays it all out. And Pat's continued to fight the good fight over these last, I can't believe it, 4 or 5 years we've been dealing with this stuff. Good morning, Patrick.
Top of the morning to you, my friend.
I told the story about this jail ballot situation that we are having to get signatures here within a 45-day window. We're turning them in on Friday. And in talking with Vicky's deputy clerk, Annette Marcus, Dale Eschenberg, the chair of our committee, has been critically important to getting signatures for this drive. We have to get 10% of the qualified voter file. 2 weeks ago, Pat, he contacted Annette. She told him the number was 22,001. So he's like, okay, 10%. We got to get 2,200 guys valid. We're a little short right now. We're going to keep working for the next couple weeks. I think we're going to be good. Calls her yesterday, and the number's up to 23,217. How did Little Antrim County gain 1,216 voters in our qualified voter files on Jocelyn Benson's website? Pat, how did that happen?
Excellent question, my friend. And there's only one real good way to answer it, and that's by getting access to the Michigan Qualified Voter File, known as a QVF, and get access to the transaction log specifically. We need to know who's modifying that file, when are they modifying it, and what modifications are they making. And the reason I highlight that is because we know for a fact there's an API, and for all the non-geeks out there, that's an application program interface, that's a connection that allows third parties like Rock the Vote to go in and modify the records in the state qualified voter file. We know they have an API linked into this. I want to know who's messing with our voter rolls. I mean, to this day, there's over 380,000 fewer voters listed per the voter history in the qualified voter file versus ballots cast in the 2020 election. That should never change, right? That should equal. You should have the same number of people casting ballots as the number of ballots that you counted. And we're off by over 380,000 in an election decided by 154,188 votes. So, no, there's something rotten in Denmark, and it sounds like Vicky is getting to the heart of it. They can adjust the qualified voter file rolls up or down as they see fit, and we want to know who's manipulating these records.
Well, here's the point I'm thinking. Our sheriff is for it. our county administrator is for it. Three of our five county commissioners are for it. Did they reach out to Jocelyn Benson and say, hey, these people are out collecting signatures. Can you add some more people to raise the numbers so when they turn the signatures on Friday, they end up being short? I mean, yeah. Something smells, and it's happening right here in Antrim County.
It's a moving goalpost, and that's what they love to do. They love to create chaos, and it's about time we kind of doge them and get into an audit of exactly how they're manipulating our voter rolls. That's
absolutely
what needs to be done. And thankfully, under Speaker Matt Hall, they issued permanent subpoena authority to the Michigan House Oversight Committee. So, State Representative Jay DeBoyer chairs that committee, and he's all over this stuff. So I'm optimistic we can get a subpoena issued on the QVF transaction log.
Well, I read your post on Twitter. We're going to talk about it in the next segment. Staying over through the break, Patrick Kolbeck. I'm Chuck or Randy. We'll be right back.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Do you have a fear of running out of money during retirement, or maybe worried about another market crash as the one we experienced in 2008? I have solutions. Whether it's for education, family, retirement, gift giving, or simple protection of your hard-earned money, I have a number of contractual guaranteed payouts to choose from. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I've literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Staying through the break is Patrick Kolbeck. Pat, I read your entire post that you posted yesterday about President Donald Trump signing these executive orders, the four or five different points in there. And one thing I mentioned to the audience when I read it, and I want you to validate this for me, is that this is all stuff that's already part of our laws. It requires no action by Congress to actually put into new legislation every single one of these points Donald Trump put in this executive order. Is that an accurate statement?
Absolutely. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not additional legislation that would help the cause of election integrity that we should push, like the SAFE Act and also the MESA Act, Make Election Secure Again Act, which is the best election integrity legislation I've seen at the federal level. But for this executive order, you know, unlike all these federal judges that are coloring outside of the lines of their authority, President Trump is operating 100% within the confines of the executive branch with this executive order. He is referencing statutes that already exist, and he's just saying enforce it, because that's the issue we've had in Michigan. It's like we got to enforce the actual laws that are in place.
Now, one of the things he mentions talks about having to show your U.S. citizenship. Now, this is something that Brian Postumus, the state representative, talked about at our state convention back on February 22nd when we elected Jim Runstedt and Bernadette Smith to lead the party. Brian actually got up and spoke and said, listen, if we can't do it legislatively, I'm going to start collecting signatures to put it on the ballot demanding proof of citizenship. Did Donald Trump in this executive order yesterday basically negate Brian Postumus' efforts here in the state of Michigan?
Well, I would submit that it's a belts and suspenders legislation, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea that we've already got a federal law that requires proof of U.S. citizenship. I forget the actual U.S. code on it, but
right.
There's already a federal law requiring that. So it's not a matter of needing a new law. Just enforce the one we had. Now, if you want to do it at the state level, that would fill in the gap, because technically federal law can only apply to federal elections. So if anything, the gap that he might be filling, which is not being discussed or whatever, is just for state and local elections. Is it beneficial to pursue it? Sure. Is it the best thing we could do for our petition gathering money? No.
Right. Got it. Well, I'm going to have Brian on the show, because rumors are he's actually wanting to use this as a way to get signatures to know people's information, because he plans to announce he's running for Secretary of State next year. And yeah. I'm going to get to the bottom of that. But the point is this. In your scientific, nerdy, geeky brain, one of the things you keep, every time I talk to you, you talk about transactional logs. Explain what those are, and why are you so absolutely geeked up that we need to get into these?
Yeah, so in Michigan, all of our voter rolls, i.e. the people eligible to vote, and the voter history for those voters is captured in a single big database called the Qualified Voter File. And that's required under statute. And just to give you a little bit of background, under statute, that qualified voter file is supposed to be, first of all, maintained in an accurate fashion, which is not happening in the state of Michigan. And then second of all, voter history is supposed to be maintained for a period of not less than 5 years, and that data is supposed to be uploaded within 7 days. But groups like Check My Vote and Deep with Tim Vetter and Fani Mantravati are all digging into this and finding out that our voter history for who voted in a given election is changing every single month. And so what this log would do is identify who voted, essentially go into that database, that qualified voter file database, and identify who accessed the database, when did they access it, and what changes were made to that database. I mean, it's all the information that you would need to know who's messing with our voter files. And it really, the questions that this data, this one single file would answer is, who put in the 800,000 ineligible votes that Ruth Johnson referenced in her memo to the Michigan Senate colleagues when Jocelyn Benson assumed office back in, 2019?
Sure.
Who is the one that deleted all the voting histories so that we have only, we're shy on 380,000 voters in the 2020 election? And who manipulated the voting history and indicated that we had multiple votes allocated to the same voter ID in the most recent 2024 election. Who did all that? That's what I want to find out, because those people are altering election records, and that's a felony.
Yeah, that is a felony. They can be charged and actually sent to prison for it. Here's the other component, and it's the microcosm I just described, the stupid little petition drive we're doing regarding the jail. Who is changing these qualified voter files here in Antrim County within the last 2 weeks? You're saying this transactional log would actually show who had access to our qualified voter file and how and when and exactly the date, time, when they started manipulating the file.
Exactly. And by the way, just so everybody knows, well, just ask for it via FOIA. I've asked for it via FOIA. They refuse to give it via Freedom of Information Act request. So it's on a on appeal right now, and they're citing false security allegations, because all this data should be made available to the public. I'm not asking for anything that shouldn't be made available to the public. If they want to hold back driver's license and social security numbers, that's fine, or dates of birth, that's fine. I don't need to know that stuff. I want to know everything else that's going on there. Who's manipulating our voter records? I think we all deserve to know.
Yeah. Well, now, here's the other question. I got a text message in. Is this something that Pat believes is being done by people like Jonathan Brader, who works for the Secretary of State? Is this outside groups? Like, what was the name of that one college group? Or somebody had Pat, she gave the username and passcode, password to get into the qualified voter file. Some college group, I can't remember the name. But she's actually allowing other outside third parties to access our QVF is basically the question. Is that an accurate question?
Yeah, and reminder, Jonathan Brader was the chairman of an organization called ERIC that is ostensibly charged. It's a multi-state consortium that's supposedly scrubbing our voter rolls and making sure that all the dead people are off. All the change of address stuff is and really, it's just a Democrat get out the vote campaign. MAP is a cleanup. Well, Jonathan Brader was a chair of that organization. So the odds of him providing access to third parties to achieve the campaign goals of Jocelyn Benson and crew is not a stretch of the imagination at all. Here's the bottom line. They've got something, this API, think of it as a backdoor into the qualified voter file. Any of these third parties that have access to this API and been given authority to access our QVF can be modifying it. So it doesn't have to be done internally at the Secretary of State. It can be a Secretary of State. It can be done via third parties that are accessing it remotely. It could be people in China, for all we know. Anybody who has access to that API can be manipulating that record. Oh, by the way, in the contracts with the state of Michigan, guess what? All of our electronic voting systems from Dominion, ESNS, and Hardiner Civic are required by contract to have access to the qualified voter file. So they could be manipulating it as well.
Unbelievable. Good question, Ben. I appreciate that. Pat, one of the things that you're working on, and again, it's on appeal to get this information, what is the timeline of that appeal, and when do you expect some kind of court date on your request of your hearing?
Well, there's no timeline at all, and it's not in the courts yet. This is just the FOIA appeal process.
Yes.
But I have requested it with our Michigan House folks. I've provided a sample subpoena for it. And I tell you, once we get that data, we're going to keep folks like Tim Vetter, who was recently given street cred out in Gateway Pundit article for identifying the double bookkeeping of Jocelyn Benson. It'll give him and my friend Fani Mantravati a lot of data to go off and analyze. And I'll tell you, there should be a lot of prosecutions coming out of that. Now that we got friendlies at the federal government and the Department of Justice, and now that President Trump, through his executive order, is prioritizing the enforcement of election law, and within that, he's prioritizing states that are not cooperative, you know, like Michigan and Jocelyn Benson. He's putting them to the top of the heap for investigations.
Well, it's pretty critical, because I do not want a repeat of the 2022 governor election in Arizona, where Katie Hobbs, the Secretary of State running for governor against Kerry Lake, ended up winning. I don't want a repeat of that mode of operandi next year when Jocelyn Benson's going to be the Secretary of State running for governor and her ending up winning that election. This has got to be stopped. I got a text message. Randy, I do want to get a copy. I want to buy a copy of Pat's book and give it to my township clerk, and I'm going to get one for my county clerk as well. What's the best way and the cheapest cost, if you could ask Pat, to buy his book? I want to buy 2, 3, 4 copies of it.
Oh, thanks. Well, I don't know if it's the cheapest cost, but if you go to mystore.com and use the promo code MeddlingKids, you'll get a discount. So,
okay, mystore.com?
Yeah, that's Mike Lindell's operation.
Oh, yeah. Mike's store. Yeah, mystore.com. And then just look for your book, The 2020 Coup, and then put in the promo code MeddlingKids.
Yep.
And you'll get a discount and shipped it right directly to you. Appreciate that. Gail just texted me out of Indian River. Is there anything we can do? Randy wants us to go talk to the clerks about what they're doing to clean up the qualified voter files this year before the election year next year. Is there any other information we should ask our clerks when we go talk to them?
Yeah, ask them to start keeping track of snapshots of the qualified voter file for their jurisdiction, and then plot how it's changing weekly, daily, whatever. So take a snapshot now and then preserve another one for the day before the election when they're downloading all that data onto their poll books, and then take another snapshot after the election and then after they have uploaded their updated voting history from their poll books into the QVF and see if the state is capturing that accurately. What we're finding is that the state is ignoring a lot of the updates that are being provided by the local clerks.
Okay, so basically daily screenshots of what they're seeing in the qualified voter files, you're saying, the actual raw number, is that what you just said?
Yeah, it's kind of a poor man's qualified voter file transaction log. I mean, it doesn't tell us who's modifying it, but it does tell us that what modifications are being made from time to time across the QVF. So just
and
like
then
you
once,
discovered
once you
with
get the logs, then you can figure out who was actually making those changes that justified those numbers changing.
Exactly.
Got it. Man, I got to tell you, brother, you are so far above my pay grade, but I think I get it. I think the listeners get it. I'm going to send you the link to this podcast and hopefully can get this information out there. I want every single person listening to my voice this morning to go to their local township clerks and ask them what they're doing about cleaning up the qualified voter files this year. And I think we also need to even reach some of our county clerks.
Yeah, this QVF transaction log, all it is an electronic version of, if you were doing this by paper, let's say you're going to an evidence locker or whatever, it's a check-in, check-out type of log that tells you who's getting access to the information. So, and by the way, we do know that prior to 2022, these organizations had the ability not only to write to the QVF, but also to read from it.
Read from it, actually access the information.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Well, man, we greatly appreciate the information. Again, go to mystore.com, look for the book, The 2020 Coup, and then put in the promo code MeddlingKids. You'll get a discount. They'll ship it directly to you. Buy one for your township clerk. Buy one for your county clerk, and go talk to them. We greatly appreciate you coming on the show today, Pat.
Hey, it's great to be with you. And just a heads up, on May 3rd, I'm going to be up in Ajima County on West Branch and speaking to folks there about election integrity. So it might be within driving distance a lot of the folks
listening
to the show today.
Well, send me the flyer and I'll get it out to everybody.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, my friend. Knock them
on. Thank you, sir. God bless. Bottom of the Hour News, hour number 3. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award-winning news team covering the